This is the Cubs-related podcast presented by Cubs Insider. Corey and I are podcasting to you on a Monday evening. Lots has happened in the last week. Corey, what do you have for us?
Well, I just want to make sure, and I think we're about 2 days removed from this, but if you have not seen Javi Baez's home run for Puerto Rico against Team Mexico the other night, and the ensuing, I don't even know what we call this, Brendan. It's not a bat flip. It was the opposite of a bat flip.
Which makes it even better.
You need to drop what you're doing and go watch it. You can watch it on Cubs Insider. You can go to MLB.com. I don't even care, but you have to watch it. It brings us to a whole issue on the World Baseball Classic, and there's a lot to dissect there, but this weekend the games were absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And when you're looking for all these discussions that have taken place about how to make baseball more interesting for casual fans and how to promote the game and this, that, and the other, you watch those games and that your answer is right there. And I, you know, how you bring it to the MLB, I'm not exactly sure, but man, were those guys having fun. And the crowds were electric, absolutely electric for that, the Dominican game against the U.S.
And really all the Dominican games, but especially the U.S.
Just unbelievable. But, I mean, that Baez hits a towering home run. Think the Johnny Cueto quick pitch home run, except the wind isn't blowing in, right?
Yeah.
And just lays the bat down.
He lays it down.
Lays the bat down, does a little bit of like a Sammy Hawk type deal. And it's just unbelievable. I mean, it's just the level of it. It's like they get to the World Baseball Classic and somebody says, turn the swagger to 11 and just go nuts. And that's what happens. And it's just great. I think it's great for the game. I just think it's great.
Even Correa, too, is just pimping every single homer he hits. I love it. I was talking to I think, Isaac Bennett about it. And why can't the playoffs look? The playoffs are great. We had a great playoff run last year, obviously, and the excitement was there. But you can visibly and you can sense the enthusiasm and just the pure joy of the game from these teams, like Venezuela and Puerto Rico and the Dominican, and to some degree, even the U.S., even though they're less flamboyant in their personalities and the way they express themselves. But my God, like, I think the sport would be so much healthier if instead of not trying to shorten the game, just use this World Baseball Classic as a template to try to institute some of the, I don't know, something to bring this type of enthusiasm over to the major league level, right? Like, that's unbelievable. If you haven't started watching the World Baseball Classic, you really do need to. I think the baseball, granted, some of the players aren't the best players, but that actually, I think, adds to it. Mm-hmm. And the Venezuelan team, even though they're out of it right now, Corey, I didn't even check that tiebreaker.
No, so actually, I think they're going to play Italy. I think that starts in like 15 minutes or something like that. So there was some weird confusion with way that they were right. Yeah, the way that they ended up sorting the tiebreaker, I think, was on like runs per inning, and it just, I think a lot of people went into the game thinking that if Mexico won, they would move on, but it depended on the score or something like that. And then late at night, they, you know, Venezuela gets the game. I don't know. It was a little weird. I was watching that game with the impression that if Mexico won, they would advance.
I thought that's what happened.
And I woke up this morning, I think, to something else, and I don't know. But yeah, I agree with you. It's been really good baseball. It's been really fun. And, you know, I'm not usually big on these things. I know I've expressed to Brendan before, but I love the game of baseball, but I'm actually more of a hockey person as an overall sport. It's a sport I played my entire life. I think I'm more apt to maybe watch a hockey game between two teams that I don't like than a baseball game. Mm-hmm. So this kind of tournament isn't necessarily something that I'm naturally inclined to, you know, really gravitate for or really have like a passion for the team. As far as baseball, I am extraordinarily passionate about the Cubs. And if I'm not, then I, you know, it's just harder for me to get into. And even watching this tournament, I mean, I'm having a great time. It's the level of pride that these guys have for their country and just baseball. I mean, it's fun to watch guys get so excited about hitting home runs or driving runs in and all that other stuff. Yeah, and I'll be also very candid with you. I don't want to disappoint all of my brethren in the Jewish faith that listen to this podcast, but I am fully on Team Puerto Rico. If it was a Puerto Rico Israel final, this guy's pulling for Puerto Rico. So no offense to my my religious relatives, but I'm for Javi overall. So
well, even just Lindor too. It's the entire group, Correa, Lindor, Baez, unbelievable.
So much fun. Yeah.
And even John Andreoli, I mean, another Cub.
Yeah.
He's had a really great World Baseball
Classic. Having a big series, yeah. And he'll be playing that game going on right now. When you're listening to this, the game will have – it'll either be in the middle or over. But he's been the leader for that Italian team, and we'll see if they can get through Venezuela in advance. But this next round, if you haven't watched, in the beginning, there's obviously some lesser teams, that start out the tournament that aren't, really as good or as fun to watch. But this next round is, oh boy. Like, I think Puerto Rico plays the Dominican coming up.
Yeah,
so we could just for some real treats here.
Yeah. And the fact that Baez has played in the World Baseball Classic has given some other guys in the Cubs who are actually playing spring training some time. I mean, we've seen Ian Happ just go completely berserk these last few games. Do you have his stat line up in front of you? Do you know his entire spring line?
Let me confirm that for you. So at this point in the spring, he is slashing 467, 484, 867.
Yeah, he hit a homer today.
That is very good.
Yeah.
His third home run of the spring.
Yeah.
And his OPS is up to 1351, if you didn't feel like doing that quick math when I read the slash line. But that's really good. It's his first major league camp. And I know we posted that interview he did with the MLB Network when they visited Cubs camp, as part of their 30 clubs in 30 days thing. But I know I told you, Brendan, I really liked the interview. It wasn't anything spectacular, but just for such a young guy to be in this situation and to talk about how focused he is on the role that he can play with this group and being versatile and playing a lot of positions and how much he's learning from Ben Zobrist and stuff like that. It was a very good watch. And I think just one of those where you just get the confidence, like this guy seems to get it. He seems to have a really good mindset. He seems to be relishing the fact that he's in a major league camp with the MVP, another top five MVP candidate, and all these other young stars. And, we kind of talked about this before, where the Cubs hopefully have developed this system that sort of turns into something like, the New England Patriots or the San Antonio Spurs or, gulp the St. Louis Cardinals to certain degrees.
Why did you just even say that?
There has to be a baseball example, and I think, unfortunately, that just is what it is.
Okay.
Right?
Sure.
The Cubs related podcast is a firm believer in the F the Cardinals tagline.
I mean, you gave me crap about talking about Ryan Theriault and you compare the Cubs to the St. Louis Cardinals and
I loosely compared them. The organization. Very loosely.
Okay.
Fine, strike it from the record, pretend I didn't say it. But
thank you.
It's just when you can draft these guys and they're able to exist in this culture and be brought up in this culture, it's really something. And to watch Happ do this in spring training on a team with such star power, the guy that everybody's talking about right now is Ian Happ. I think that's amazing.
And that he's overshadowing even Jimenez, who has an OPS of 1,000. So,
right.
This team is just oozing with talent. And the one thing that caught my attention in that Happ interview is when he was talking about Ben Zobrist, and that actually may be a different interview now that I think about it, but nevertheless, recently he was talking about how he wants to emulate Ben Zobrist and how that's like the perfect model for him in terms of his defensive versatility. So I can really see a situation play out even this year if something were to happen that's not to the Cubs' advantage, and they need a call-up on a young guy who can play multiple positions. That can be Ian Happ, left field, right field, second base. I mean, his defensive scouting reports aren't the best per se, but we can see that the pure athleticism is there, and maybe with some fine-tuned coaching that can help him along the way.
Mm-hmm.
But we were going to talk about this maybe towards the end, but let's just bring it up now, okay? And it does involve Hayward, and it is a question that I think needs to be asked. And we see Baez, who had a great postseason. He's cut down on his strikeout rate, making more contact. The defense is there. We have Jimenez, who's knocking on the door if he plays well in Double A this year. And for what we see right now, Happ is basically ready. He'll play in Triple A, but once you do well in Double A, you're knocking on the door. If Hayward continues to be this type of player, this is an issue.
It's a real situation, and I know, you know, just so our listeners are on the same page with us, we talked about this before we got on because we really don't want to, you know, bash this topic into the ground. But I think this is a different sort of perspective than what we've touched on. And I know myself, the first thing I said, I think, when we first talked about Hayward in the spring was preaching patience and all that other stuff. And it's just an interesting spot. You know, we're about near-ish the halfway point or so of spring training. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the numbers are bad. And, you know, it's one of those things where, yeah, it's spring training, but man, when you're striking out and swinging, missing at a rate against, you know, a lot of guys who are probably minor league pitchers, it's concerning.
It's the absence of any encouraging results. We saw the homer, we saw a double down the line, but for the most part, like, the quality of the at-bats are just not good. And I told you this before we jumped on, like, you know, take caution in interpreting some of these spring training stats. But I think the takeaway here is that this is going to be a work in progress, right? He's going to continue to have to modify his mechanics, but there's going to come a point where, you know, the Cubs can't afford to delay the progression of young players, even Baez, who's still young, for the sake of trying to fix Hayward. Like, that's an issue.
It brings us to a really weird spot. And I think last year, no one was like expecting that. Everybody's kind of dealing with that situation as it's unfolding and sort of thinking, okay, this is just a slump, or he'll turn it around. He is a notoriously slow starter, so I think for at least a couple months, you're kind of getting like a, you know, almost what, like a confounding variable situation, you know, where it's like, mm-hmm. everybody's saying he's a slow starter, but was there more there, you know, and there was, unfortunately. This year is different. You know, you already know this is an issue. He's been working on this for months in spring training. It's an issue that was being looked at probably as early as what, like last May, last April even, but like really getting into it from June, July. Like, so I think coming into this year, it's a different scenario. If it starts the same way out the gate, you can't approach it the same way, you know? And I don't know what that means. I really don't. But I also firmly believe that this group, Madden, Theo, these guys, they're not going to tank the team because they paid him big money. Like, yeah. I think they'll bench him. I think he will, if they have to, I think he'll be the, you know, highest paid bench player in the league. And that'll be his burden to wear, unfortunately. And the rest of the team, I think, will move on and do what they have to do. But I genuinely can't envision a scenario where Javi Baez is, you know, putting up a slash line that allows his defense and everything else to play and no issues as far as, you know, his overactive swinging and whatever, which going back to the WBC, he's taking some hefty hacks.
Yes.
You know, I genuinely can't see them doing that. You know, and we think back to the playoffs in the World Series. I mean, that scrutiny was heavy. When Hayward was in the lineup for those games, every national writer, every fan, every, you know, meatball armchair coach is, where's, you know, how are you going to sit Contreras? How, you know, he's a much better hitter. You're going to have a dead spot in the order. And I think, again, that all related to where they were last year, who was on the team, and just sort of the way that situation was playing out. I think this year it's just a different spot. I think even a week of him doing that, I think the scrutiny is going to be insane. I think it's going to be a lot. And
so what do you do? You know, seriously, what do you do?
I think the first thing is it depends on who's there to take the spot. You know, I don't know that, and I don't think that Ian Happ would be a candidate to be on the opening day roster.
No,
I just
no,
don't.
No.
So you know, for as easy as it is to just sub those guys in, like, I don't think that that's where they are in their development. And I don't think that's how it's going to be. But
even if Ian Happ were to make the opening day roster, which he's not going to, but let's say even like Jaime Candelario, you can't bring up those guys because they're not going to get consistent playing time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, actual consistent playing time, not like, you know, four or five games every eight games like some of the other guys have, but I'm talking like, you know, they're not going to be playing that much whatsoever. So even if that were to happen, like, what do? Do you play LaStella more, or do you just play Baez
more?
It's
an interesting spot, and I think, again, kind of why we brought it up, that it's a sort of different look at this. I really don't know. It was, you know, when we saw that he was getting to Mesa, you know, in December or whatever it was, I think you and I talked about it, just how we were hoping that he could figure out something in the swing, hit like 250, 260, and it just wouldn't really be that much of an issue.
But even then, I'm kind of like retracting that statement a little bit.
Okay.
The reason I am is because, an average offensive Hayward with phenomenal defense is worth 3 to 4 wins, like 3 to 4
right.
WAR. That's fantastic, and that's definitely worth the contract. On the other hand, I like to play the high ceiling card. And you have Eloy Jimenez, who may be that very unique combination of...
But do you think that they would bring him up right now and play him? You think they're ready to do that?
No, I'm not saying that even this year. I'm saying even the following season. I'm thinking more long-term now. But let's say Hayward is an average offensive player. That's who he is. And right now, that would with what we've seen, would be good. But we go into the following year, and I'm thinking the year ahead. Do you actually want an average offensive player to take away at-bats from one of the most unique combinations in baseball and contact and power? I know we're thinking down the line here, but we're going to eventually have to start asking ourselves these questions if this continues. So to me, like... And it doesn't look likely to me. The what I want out of Hayward is not average offense. I do not want that. I want above average offense. I want that high 5 WAR type player. And I think that when you have someone like Eloy Jimenez waiting in the wings, and we'll see how he does in Double-A, who could potentially surpass 5 WAR, that is an issue to me. So I know people are looking at, and I'll close it up here with my thoughts on that, but I know people are looking at trying to rationalize how Hayward can redeem himself and rationalizing it by thinking he's going to be an average offensive player. That's not going to be enough for me. It's just not.
No, that's fair. And I this is one where I think hopefully our, you know, those of you that have been listening to us for a while hopefully know that we're totally fine to admit when we're wrong on things. I really wanted Jason Hayward. When they signed him, I had no problem with the contract. I had no problem with any of it. I was thrilled. And I, you know, sit here now just dead wrong. And I had plenty of friends who, you know, I don't think that it was necessarily based on the right stuff, but I had plenty of people tell me, like, I think that's a terrible contract. I, you know, don't think he's that good. I don't think he's worth it. And, you know, we're living in a world where they're right. And, you know, I at least was very wrong. So right. I think it's
– You saw the potential there too. You saw a guy who's, yeah. who's hit almost 30 homers even like during his first few years in the bigs, a guy who is the best outfielder in baseball and a guy who makes frequent contact. So the thinking is, okay, let's try to mesh all these traits together using our developmental system, and ultimately mm-hmm. that should have translated to lots and lots and lots of value. But it's been the complete opposite. But
yeah, and I mean just my – Yeah, my final thoughts on it are, again, you know, I think by this point, really hoping to have seen different results. And so, again, you know, we don't mean to belabor the point or beat a dead horse, but I just was hoping to see something here. And the numbers are just terrible. And it's one of those where I'll be the first to tell you not to pay attention to spring training and all that other stuff until your, you know, 20 whatever million dollar outfielder is, you know, whiffing against, you know, guys who are going to end up in single A, you know, or double A or whatever. It's just, it's not necessarily something that I think anyone needs to freak out now. I would still operate under the, you know, we got to play the real games. We got to see what Madden's going to do. And, you know, you can't, like, I wouldn't get, it's kind of like what I say about Baez. Like, I wouldn't get worked up over their playing time. They haven't played yet. You know, like, maybe we kind of know what Madden's going to do first, but they haven't done it yet. So you can't, you know, I wouldn't rip anybody for Hayward's playing time. He hasn't played any games yet. So
yeah, and just
let's
to clarify,
see what happens. But
just to clarify too, and I can understand how some people might be interpreting this as us making these demonstrative conclusions about Hayward's value on this team. Yes, there is time. Yes, there is the possibility he completely redeems himself. The only reason we bring this up now is because we have a perfect contrast with what the young Cubs are doing and Happ and Jimenez with what
right.
Hayward's doing right now.
It's almost like in your face.
It's like, how can you not ignore it, right?
Right.
And so we'll see.
It's a little in your face at this point. And yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, there's still a couple weeks left of spring training, and I guess we can all just hope that Hayward's playing possum. He hasn't revealed the real swing yet, and they're just going to unleash it on opening day so that nobody has any scouting reports on it.
Moving on from that too, because we're talking.
I really
about,
hate that we have to talk about this again.
I know.
God, I mean, what a mess. It really is. And that's what I mean about, you know, before, like, this is, I really didn't envision this being the scenario. Like, when they first signed him, even in the middle of last year, like, I really just didn't believe it.
Yeah,
it's something you have to talk about. You know, I mean, we talk about the kind of future payroll situation a lot, I think especially as it relates to Arrieta, but this is a similar one where, you know, these guys are just going to be the important pieces, and they all kind of come up if you wait until, you know, they're free agents. It's all at the same time, basically.
Yeah.
So it is something to look at. I think an extension with Bryant is a, you know, probably a bit of a pipe dream.
What do you think you would ask right now?
I don't even know.
No, seriously, throw a number out there. Like, what do you think? Like, $28 million a year at this point?
I mean, I don't know. That doesn't even seem like enough, does it?
$28 million? No, it doesn't.
I mean, I guess if you're, you know, they might give you credit for buying out those hard years, but I don't know how much that's going to buy you. But you know, I mean, at this point, the guys.
Yeah, Stanton's contract was, I think, over $300 million for 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, I assume that's something in the neighborhood of what you're looking at. You know, and I don't know how Bryant feels about it, but I would imagine that Scott Boras definitely remembers the, you know, extra week that Chris spent in the minors to deal with his service time. And
he was working on his defense, Corey.
Well, and we wanted to give Mike Ault a real shot. So, I just think that they could do it, but I don't know. That's one that I can't really answer. I don't know how the front office feels about doling that out right now. I don't know if the Bryant camp would even be receptive to it. Maybe, you know, just to buy out those arb years and just get this done with.
Well,
and then
obviously Russell?
If he did that now, you know, he'd be looking at another big contract whenever. I don't know. But I think those guys, you have a much easier case, you know, and you can see what you can do. I think if Russell and his camp feel about Addison the way that we do, it might be a little harder to get that done. You know,
he's also represented by Scott Boras as well. So now you're playing with fire. So, yeah, Scott Boras really
playing with fire. I think you can use that to your advantage, just in that, you know, if you can kind of try to be good to several of his clients, you know, you might maybe, and I don't know this, but, you know, maybe that can get you some good credit.
I doubt it.
Yeah, I doubt it. Yeah. I was saying that because it sounded good.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting spot. It's something that every move the Cubs make, and it's why we bring it up when we talk about the Arrieta extension, and I think why, you know, sort of a meat of the reason that you and I are so opposed to the deal that he wants, aside from, you know, other issues, is it's a tough thing. 2020 and 2021, the Cubs have an awful lot of talent.
Stop. It's already giving me anxiety.
Well, they already won one championship.
It still gives me anxiety.
I imagine they can squeeze out one more in there, you know?
I mean,
it's not that big a deal. But look, and they just keep cranking out this talent. It'll be Ian Happ's team in like 3 years. You know, you won't even notice. I'm mostly kidding. But it's an interesting spot where all of this is kind of lined up. You know, and even Rizzo's contract expires around the same time. And it's just the way it is. And also, if you project it out further, there's literally like zero starting pitchers in the rotation at that point. So that's going to have to come from somewhere too. So yeah, it's an interesting spot. We just brought up the Hayward thing because we're moving into the territory where it becomes less of a let's sit back, give it time and see what happens kind of deal. And like, okay, now we like actually have to make decisions on this, and we're going to have to evaluate like what Madden and company are doing on a daily basis as it relates to these guys, you know. And we'll see, you know. It'll be a very interesting situation. It'll be very interesting to see what happens at Wrigley Field. You know, not a fan base that has a reputation of being particularly forgiving of things like this. I thought they were I'm there every day. I thought we were very good last year, not a lot of booing when it wasn't really warranted and stuff like that. But like I was saying before, I think this year it's a different case. Everybody knew about it. Everybody knew, you know, that he was working on it. And if the results aren't there, it might get ugly, man. It really might. And I think why we kind of brought it up today is that it has morphed into this issue, not of Hayward and his contract, but more an issue of, if this guy's taking playing time from Baez, I'm going to be pissed. If this guy's taking playing time from Almora and it looks like Almora's really developing and all that other stuff, I'm going to be pissed. You know, I think it's sort of fascinating to follow this issue because it's taken on a real life of its own at this point. So, but you know, we'll see. And in the meantime, you know, we'll remember that the team will be really good regardless, and it probably won't be the difference between something they do and something they would have done otherwise, but it'll be a situation to watch.
Yeah.
So moving on to something else, we've gotten a more extended look at the starting pitchers. Brendan, I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, but you know, just throwing out Kyle Hendricks is locked in. Kyle Hendricks looks ready
great.
To go. You know, getting swings and misses, limiting hard contact, just looks really good.
I thought Eddie
Jake Arrieta was good the other day, I think.
He had that one eight-pitch stretch where he described himself as feeling like a left-handed pitcher.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which is less than ideal, but yeah, whatever that means. But I also was I was encouraged by Eddie Butler. He was hitting 95. I think he looked pretty sharp. Unfortunately for us, MLB TV was not broadcasting that game that day, so I'm really curious to see what he looks like compared to his days with Colorado, especially given that he and Bosio supposedly have been working on reverting back to his rookie days with a lower release point. So I am very, very interested to see if he indeed has lowered his release point. So when that is televised, hopefully we can do a quick analysis and compare the two. And also, Corey, there were some cuts, and they trimmed the roster down to 50. And so they got rid of Dwayne Underwood, who went to AA. He's still going to start this Friday in big league camp. So he's still with
I just want to clarify, sure. Cuts to the major league spring training roster,
yes.
Not like literally cut from the team.
Correct. So they're going to minor league camp. Also, Aaron Brooks, who was from Oakland, who we've mentioned a few times, he could actually see some starts, I think, with the big league club this year. He's still 26. He's a ground ball pitcher. Anyway, he was shipped back to minor league camp, along with Rosario, who's a middle-tier relief prospect. Did I say Jack Weatherstitch already? If I didn't, he's
nope.
Also back to minor league camp. And then which I still can't believe Ross Cupp hasn't developed, but Ross Cupp was also, Zach Ross Cupp, who was a lefty reliever, who I thought was going to be decent. He's demoted to minor league camp as well. No really big names there. No surprises for me. And then going into this week, we have Brett Anderson starting tomorrow. Then we have Montgomery, who will take over Anderson in tomorrow's game. Kyle Hendricks will start on Wednesday. Your boy Lester and Arrieta will pitch Thursday and Friday. And also in those games, we'll see Eddie Butler and, like I just said, Dwayne Underwood. So a lot going on this week. Look at Butler. Underwood actually was the top pitching prospect in the system like 12 months ago. So he's fallen, especially from a lot of top prospect lists. So that will be fun. Hopefully, I don't know if that game's on MLB TV, but if it is, I'm definitely interested in watching that. What else, Corey? Anything that we should keep an eye on this week or any other notes?
I think that about covers it. I mean, I think we're still, you know, the overall issues with the club are, you know, I think still kind of exactly how they structure the rotation and kind of those last bullpen spots and that last bench spot, you know, so I don't think those things have changed.
Mm-hmm.
I think the major league guys, you know, everybody's developing, I think, just fine. Nothing really to fawn over. I think it's amusing that Kyle Schwarber has two triples in spring
yeah.
training, because obviously the first thought.
And he stole a base.
Yes. The first thought from those opposed to him leading off is that, you know, you need a speed guy at the top of the order. So Kyle took that to heart, man. He's trying to show you. If you don't believe in him as the leadoff hitter, he'll get you on board.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's we're kind of in about the same spot. And you know, really the only thing is that Ian Happ is just sort of blowing up everybody's spot here. It's impossible to not pay attention to. And we'll see how he keeps going and what the Cubs ultimately, you know, where they decide to place him and how they best want to develop him.
Yeah,
certainly, if they're, you know, possibly considering moving him for pitching or whatever they might, you know, this is certainly helpful to that end. I don't want them to do that, but, you know, it certainly doesn't hurt that he's got a, you know, 1300 OPS and major league camp. That certainly looks nice. And otherwise, yeah, I mean, I'd say tune into that World Baseball Classic. It's been really fun. There's some really good games coming up. And
And then,
you know, try not to let Latin baseball players, you know, swagging around bother you too much. If it does bother you, it doesn't bother me, but I know it gets on, you know, maybe some classic
please.
Traditional baseball fans'
please.
Nerves. But if you're a fan of the unwritten rules, you probably don't like the World Baseball Classic. If you're Jake Arrieta, you probably don't like the World Baseball Classic. He would be putting a ball in a lot of people's ribs, as he proclaimed. I think if we could get Arrieta throwing to Puerto Rico, man.
Oh, my God.
I mean, just I don't even...
Even the DR guys, too. They're pimping
I don't
everything.
Even know... I don't know what would happen. He'd be walking in runs. He'd be hitting so many people.
Someone would die.
Although then you could play the would he be giving up home runs for them to pimp game. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably not. But, I think that's about it. It's been an interesting week. Interesting times in Cubs camp. And it's funny because this is the first time, you know, obviously this is everybody's first camp as World Series champions. The weekly reminder that the Cubs did win the World Series.
They won the World Series.
They did. And, you know, it's just been sort of interesting for me to, you know, kind of sit back and just see what that looks like and what issues arise from a team that's, you know, projected to win a lot of games again and for all intents and purposes is in a really good spot. It's fascinating to see, you know, what stuff comes up in the camp of a team that just won the World Series and, you know, in a lot of respects could be even better this next year, you know? So I think that's why the Hayward thing is so interesting and, you know, what they're doing with Schwarber and these last little roster spots. It's sort of just fascinating to see what comes out of a camp like this. And if you didn't see Tim Buss in a Speedo and a Luchador mask from the workout this morning, you could probably go look at that. I don't know that it's something you
Why
want to
see.
Why
would you encourage looking at that? That's
I mean, I'm just pointing it out. I thought it was funny. NSFW for sure.
Yes.
don't open that one at work. But they're having a good time. Also, just a side note, that new Be Uncomfortable shirt.
It sucks. Sorry.
Is hideous.
It's bad.
Hideous. I get it. The message is great, but it just... It just doesn't translate.
It actually
to a shirt for me. It's too much. I mean, you'd have to explain that to anybody. And half the words are on the back. It's very strange.
And why is the B the one that's standing out? Like at least put
because it's B uncomfortable.
But that's so much thinking. They should have like put uncomfortable on the front with the C capitalized. You know, for the Chicago Cubs, right? But that's bad.
Yeah, I do, and I all those Cork shirts are really great, and obviously what they do, you know, donating the proceeds to Joe Madden's charities is great, but that shirt's ugly, guys. No offense, but yeah.
And then at the end of the week, just to tie this up here, if you are in Mesa, Evan Altman and John Ferlise, who are the guys who operate Cubs Insider with Corey and I, they're the main honchos. They are throwing an event at Brass Tap in Mesa. You'll see me tweet about it throughout the week and Evan and John and the Cubs Insider account as well. But it's a charity auction type thing as well. We have about 50 or so shirts that we've made that will be given out. And you'll get to meet Evan, me, and John. I know it's fantastic. If you've never met Evan before, his voice is very deep. It almost shocks you at first. So if anything, come to hear Evan's voice and have some beers with us. It'll be a good time. So that's Saturday. That's going to be after the Cubs game. There's a split squad game that day, and I think they're playing the Asian national team. Like that's what I don't know what that means, but they're playing the Asian national team at Sloan Park. And half the team's going to – where are they going? I think they're going to Surprise – as well. No, they're not going to Surprise. They're going to Maryville to play Milwaukee. But anyway, go to Mesa, go to Brass Tap, come meet us. It will be a good time. We will talk to you guys next week.